bless you all. It's strange to be here in an empty room, but we're delighted that at least we can make contact, and it's been a while since I've been able to tell you all I love you, and I do so much. So thankful for each one of you, and I want to thank you for all the love and prayers for Jesse and I when we were on our trip and in quarantine. We sang a verse in a song earlier, "Our God Reigns." One of those phrases that we sang said, "See eye to eye, the Lord restoring Zion." And I love that, because I believe this is the time when the things that are written, the things that we know, the things that are in ink on paper, need to come out into reality, where we see them eye to eye. I believe for Jesse and I, this was the testimony of our trip. We saw eye to eye God going before us. We saw eye to eye God working in hearts and lives of people that He sent us there for. We didn't go for ourselves. We didn't go for us. We went because He said go. And we were being obedient. My flesh, even from the beginning, wasn't very excited about it, but my spirit was. So He was with us and proved Himself every single step of the way, to the point that the day after we left, they closed down all flights in and out of Uganda and shut down the country. So it was an exodus, very biblical. God was with us every step of the way. So again, I just want to thank you all for your prayers. And we felt them. Not only did we feel them, we saw them. And to see the Word of God, see the Lord restoring Zion, is probably one of the most beautiful things that we could experience as a human being, to see God working, to see Him alive and living in His people means more than anything. I want to do just something very simple tonight to encourage us all. I know these are trying times, to say the least, and I know we're all experiencing new things, bound to our homes, and time with the Lord in our homes. In a way, I'm not surprised, because I've been thinking on these things for quite some time. You know how many times I've mentioned in church. This church, the church things, they have to be a reality to each one of us. So in all of these things, I think, like we just sang, Jehovah Jireh. When we sing the words, "Lord, You're more than enough," I believe those words need to be put to the test. And I believe His word needs to be put to the test in us. And we're seeing this put to the test. We're being put to the test. How big is my God? How real is He in my life? How is my communion with Him? How is my fellowship with Him? Can I truthfully say not because I sing it in a song, but because it would come out of my heart. You are more than enough for me, Lord. You're more than enough. And that's what I'm praying that He is doing during this time for all of us. And because this is where it needs to happen in the Bride of Christ. It's a living word in living in a bride. It's not head knowledge. It's not, we can recite the doctrine. We know serpent seed. We know baptism in Jesus' name. We know Godhead. We know the mystery of Babylon. We know the mystery of iniquity. We know these mysteries. They were important. They're necessary. But they all lead to a life that comes from a fully restored word where the power of the original power of the original seed of the original speaking word of God, the spoken word is the original seed, comes to life in us. So God doesn't make mistakes. And we don't know how long this will be or how it will end, but He does. And that's all that's important, and we know Him. So we not only know that He's God, but He's our God. Not only is He our God, but He's our Father. And He is love, and we are His children, as Brother Branham so beautifully put it many times, where you are the object of His affection. You're the apple of His eye. You're the one He cares about. You're the one that He loves. So this is the God that we serve, who gives us this perfect love that takes away fear. And that's what we are going to as we head towards that capstone. That capstone is agape. It is perfect love, and it's a gift. It's grace. It's sovereignly given to His elect. It's given by grace. It's given by mercy. And it's given out of His love. So in view of that, I want to just talk about the love of our Lord Jesus Christ for a little bit. And in Psalm 91, which has probably been the most looked at Psalm, not only by the Bride of Christ, but by denominational people, by the world. This is, I think Uncle Paul calls it 911, our emergency call. But it should be more than just an emergency. It should be a reality of where we live. Because in the first verse he says, He that dwells, not visits, okay? He that dwells, abides in the secret place of the Most High. Well, let me ask you a question. Who can say that outside of the Bride of Jesus Christ? Do they even know what the secret place of the Most High is? Where does He meet us? Where did He place His name? In whom did He place His name? Where is that? And are we worshiping there? And where is that secret place like Brother Branham taught us? Only the Bride really knows. And we're so thankful because, again, the Word came to us. After it came to the prophet, the Holy Spirit sought you out to direct your heart into it. And we weren't looking for a message, really. Didn't know about it. Didn't know it was even there. But even in our ignorance, He brought it to us. And that's grace. So you look at these psalms, Psalm 91, and you all know it. I don't want to go into it verse by verse. We'd spend the whole evening on it. But we know that it's all about His love, and it's all about His care. Verse 2, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. He is my God, and in Him will I trust. Look at verse 3. He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shall you trust. What does that mean? How do you get under the wings of the Most High? Denominationals have their views, but so do we of the truth of this message with the light on it. We know what those wings are. We know what those feathers are, as Brother Branham told us. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. And you know, that's revelation. There again, it takes you to you and God. And nobody else is there. God reveals it, and He reveals it to each one of His children individually, sovereignly, by election. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings thou shalt trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. And we, by the grace of God, know what that truth is, and we abide in it. Then He says, don't be afraid. You shall not be afraid for the terror by night, for the arrow that flies by the day, nor for the pestilence that walks in darkness. Notice that, walks. You ever thought of pestilence walking? That shows you there are spirits there, doesn't it? Nor for the destruction that wastes at the noonday. And then those great words, 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come near. But brothers and sisters, along with this, and this prediction, protection, we see it physically, and people are focused on the physical aspect of virus, a corona, a flu, but we know that behind that is spirits. And we know also, Brother Branham told us, souls that are in prison. He said, what is out there? He says, the angel of death is out there. Do you know that? The angel of death, this was in 1963, is out there now, he says, but this time it's different than it was in the days of Exodus chapter 3, because now, he says, they're alive, but they're spiritually dead, sealed dead. The Spirit of God will never touch their soul. That's incredibly frightening. So I think of these times that we're in, and we think of this protection of our God, that dwelling place in the secret of the Most High. There's never been a time more precious when our Lord Jesus Christ is this precious to us, when the token, when there's a covering of a blood, and you don't realize as you go out, there's spirits, there's the angel of death out there. Brother Branham said, men without the Holy Ghost, there's that token, will go crazy. They'll go insane. It's going into chaos, and we see it all around us. We see people leaving the message, the vindicated Word of God, because they're looking to their own ideas, their own assumptions, their own analysis, and say, ah, I'm smarter than God. Hey, we'll get into that later. But it's the angel of death, brothers and sisters. And if some of you are been playing around with that believe the sign, I want to tell you and warn you, you've been warned by the prophet of God. You've been warned that you're playing with death, and one of these days you can speak one word and it'll never be forgiven you. Please understand that angel of death is out there. Don't you play with this word of God. Brother Branham warned every one of us in the message unveiling of God when he said, now, it's death not to go beyond that veil. Back in the Old Testament, before the sacrifice, it was death to go behind that veil. But he says, now the veil's been rent, and now it's death to not go beyond that. Well, what is the veil that both reveals and hides God? Was in this day the flesh of William Branham. And people get caught in that flesh, and they get caught in that veil. And what was the veil represented in? Badger skins. Huh? Yeah. Hiding God. And he warns you. And he says, don't get caught in this veil. You better go beyond it to see who's behind there. And once you get behind there, you see Almighty God, that he's revealing himself. Yes, through the foolishness of preaching. Yes, through fallible man. But you know what that proves when he uses fallible men, when he uses men that make mistakes, that it is his sovereign revelation that he sends forth through the fallibility of humanity that will get to the soul and the heart of the believer, and there it lodges and brings life. Through all of that, God could have chosen anything, but he chose this, and they wrestle, as they always have, every single time man comes into flesh. It's the hardest thing for man to come to grips with, that God is hiding in flesh and speaking. They couldn't take it in Jesus. They couldn't take it in Moses. Tell me what prophet they could take it in. Not one of them. Not one. So why do you think people stumble now? Is it any different? It's because of unbelief, and they don't know the ways of God. Enough of that for now. But there is the angel of death, and there is the Holy Ghost that is our protection. There is the token that is our protection, and that is the Spirit of God. The Holy Ghost is your protection, and you stay under that, brothers and sisters, and you count that blood. You count that Holy Spirit so holy, and it's covering you and it's over you. As Brother Benham says, you have to be under it. When they applied the token, they put the man in a position where he took that hyssop and he applied that to the sides and the top of the doorpost. It was over him. He had to walk underneath it. And that's an absolute type that we have to be under. The Holy Spirit. He has to be reigning his kingdom in his children. Absolute reigning, absolute. We are under him. We are his subjects. Let's go to another psalm that we don't hear of very much compared to Psalm 91, but talks about protection. Psalm 121. You turn there with me. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer. He will not allow your foot to be moved. Now look at how many times he uses the word keep. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. You understand? You are being kept. You are being watched over. You are being protected. Look at verse 4. Behold, he that keeps Israel, and you are the true Israel, shall neither slumber nor sleep. He's watching over you every day, every minute, night and day. He doesn't get weary. That's our God. The Lord is thy keeper. There it is again, three times. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand, and the sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. Now he goes to a different word, and this time he uses twice the word preserve. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil, and he shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. What did he say? What's his promise to us? I'll be with you, even in you. I will not forsake you. I'll be with you even unto the ends of the ages, right? This is our God. He is over us, this precious token, the precious Holy Spirit. His life, his word, his blood all over us. I want to see it in the person of our Lord Jesus in John chapter 13. Our safety place, brothers and sisters. Our safety place is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. There is none other. There is no other place but it in him. John chapter 13, verse 1, and before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, and that he should depart out of the world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world. What? Look at what kind of love. He loved them unto the end. You know what he said to the Father? Father, not one of them is lost. I kept them all. Huh? Do you think our intercessor, the Spirit of God, the Lord Jesus, before the throne of God, right now is watching over every one of you, not slumbering nor sleeping, preserving you, keeping you, and even now, loving you? Huh? What did he say? In John chapter 10, he says, you know what? No man shall pluck them out of my Father's hands. Nobody. There is no spirit, there is no demon, there is no death, there is no sickness, there is no bomb, there is no nothing that can take you out of the hands of our God. He is there for you. He is there to comfort you. He is there to protect you, to watch over you. I have loved, he loved his own. He loved them unto the end. And then, of course, we know he did his last act of being a servant that he could, leaving a wonderful example to me, to you, to follow that example. And he said, you don't understand, but you will. You know what, brothers and sisters? I'm still praying that we will. I think we get a little glimpse of it here and there, but I think one of these days that will become a reality. I will understand why, when it was the last thing he could do, supper being ended, the sop was given to the one who would betray him. Huh? And he does the last thing, giving him an example. Let me wash your feet. Let me be this example. He says, you call me master. You call me Lord. And that's exactly right. That's what I am. If I do this, how much more? Oh, brothers and sisters, to see that precious Spirit of Christ and the love of God, where we're willing to lay down our lives for one another, is what I live for, to see that. When I see that, I know that we're near the rapture, near that perfect faith, where all the funny humanisms and the isms and schisms and human things that we trap over will one of these days be behind us, brothers and sisters. John chapter 17, another place where he talks about keeping. Starting with verse 7, and he says, now, speaking of his disciples, they knew that all things whatsoever you have given me are of thee. That's, we know where they came from. Okay? We know, brothers and sisters, take this into the Omega Revelation. Who's here among us? Huh? Now I'm going to ask you a question. Do you ever remember Brother Branham one time, one place, saying this is the revelation of William Branham? Huh? Do you ever hear him referring one time, hey, I'm going to reveal myself, I'm going to reveal my William Branham to you? No, what? It's the revelation of what? Jesus Christ. And so the bride looks at that humble servant, knows the vindication, knows the Spirit of God, and say, I look beyond the man. I look beyond the veil, and this is not the mystery of the revelation of William Branham, it's the mystery of the revelation of Jesus Christ. And we know, just like verse 7 says, we have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. We came from God. Jesus says in John chapter 16, he says, a very interesting statement. Verse 27 back there, he says, the Father himself loves you because you love me and you believe that I came out from God. And we know what comes out from God. We know what is issued forth out of the Spirit of the Almighty God and displayed on this earth for us, for this time, for us to become Him like no other age could have been, because now we see Him. Back to John 17, verse 8, "And I have given unto them the words that you gave me, and they have received them, and they have known surely that I came out from thee, and they believe that you sent me." I pray for them, the ones that see this revelation, the ones that know that man was just an instrumentality of the voice of God, that God was in Christ, that God was speaking through human flesh. I pray for them. I don't pray for the world, but for them which you have given me, for they are thine. There you go. Those who see, those who go beyond the veil, those are His. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you. Now here is that same Spirit that was Psalm 91, the Spirit of Almighty God, the Spirit in human flesh, the Spirit of redemption, the Spirit of God's love, coming down out of care for you, out of love to watch over you. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, look at this. Keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are one. And look at what he says in verse 12. While I was with them in the world, I kept them. Yeah, I kept them. And I kept them in thy name. Those who you gave me, I kept. Do you think those same words aren't going and resounding in heavenly places right now over you? Huh? He could say over every single one of his children, I have kept you. I have kept you in my Father's name. And now I'm no longer in the world, but Father, you keep them. Father, keep my children, keep my brothers, keep my sisters. Look at that precious Spirit of God. You know, just a thought comes to me several times thinking on these things about Israel. They have what they call, what do they call it? The dome, Nate? The invisible dome? Iron Dome. Over the whole country of Israel. And here are all of these rockets and missiles and things, they come and they can't see anything. It's totally invisible. But there's things that are invisible that are protecting this whole state of Israel. How much more? Now take that picture of Israel and put you there, you the true Israel. And you have this invisible dome around you, and saying there's chaos on the outside, there's insanity on the outside, there's evil spirits on the outside, there's the angel of death on that side. And there goes the child of God with his iron dome covering them, protecting them. In Psalm 121, he that keeps you and he that preserves you slumbers not nor sleeps. And here is that Spirit that wants to keep you. Don't be afraid, brother and sister. Don't be disgruntled in this time. Be at peace. Walk with God like you never have before. Walk in His love. See the abundance of His care for you. Verse 12 again, "For I was, while I was with them, I kept them in thy name. Those who you gave me, I kept. And not one of them is lost." And he will say the same thing when he presents us to Jesus Christ in that day. Not one of us will be lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. How beautiful this is, huh? So here we have this keeping. We go to 1 Peter here because he speaks of it again. Now, here we are at a latter time. Here we are at a time after, and we see that same Spirit, the Spirit of God watching over His children. 1 Peter chapter 1. Let's read with verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be Him. Which according to His abundant mercy, hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Amen. To an inheritance incorruptible. It's what God has for you. Nothing can take it away. It's an incorruptible. It can't be rotting away. It can't be stolen. It can't be taken. An incorruptible. Undefiled. That fades not away. And it's reserved in heaven for you. For you who? You who are kept. There it is again. You're kept for this. Who's keeping you? God's keeping you. How's He keeping you? You who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And that's Omega Revelation that we're in. The revelation of Jesus Christ. The revelation of God come in revealed through human flesh again. All of these wonderful end time scriptures fulfilled. Luke 17:30. Revelation 10, Malachi 4, of course, for us, for this day. Now look at, we're going to be tried. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be. I love that. Does that show the wisdom of the Father? If need be, you are in heaviness. We got our times, and we have our assigned times. And not everything is going to be like Brother Branham says. How does he say that? Bubble dancing? Does he say it? He uses that expression sometimes. It's not time for Pentecostal bubble dancing. Yeah, there's a reality here. If need be, we have to go through these times where our faith is tried. Heaviness through manifold temptations. That the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory when at the appearing. And what's the appearing? Brother Branham says, now is the appearing. And the appearing makes way for His coming. That our faith holds strong now. Why? We see Jesus Christ. We see Him alive. We've heard His voice. You know what? And there's a bride. And we know what the bride says when she saw Him. Oh, I think you're beautiful. Oh, the first pull comes and displays His character and shows His love and shows how intimate the knowledge of the Father is with you. Nate, I saw you this morning sitting on the side of the bed and you grabbed your stomach and you had a pain there. But you went to a doctor and the doctor's name was this. God knows me that intimately? God knows me that well? That's our God. First pull. Second pull. He knows the thoughts and intents of the heart. Third pull opens the word. Oh, we love you, Lord. Oh, you are so beautiful. How could you not fall in love with a Jesus like that? How could you not fall in love with a Jesus so caring and so loving and so willing to set people free? How could you not fall in love with a Jesus of such beautiful character and nature? And then we heard His voice. We heard the voice of the sign, and we heard Him speaking. Oh, something in our hearts burned within us and said, oh, isn't that the most beautiful word I've ever heard? Oh, this is what I've been searching for all my life. So the bride hears Him in the day of His appearing, and they fall in love. And they say to Him, Lord, You're beautiful. Lord, we love what You are. We love what You say. That our faith, though it be tried, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, and whom though ye see Him not, yet believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Now, I want to go back just to the Lord Jesus in His flesh and His sacrifice for us. Just to some scriptures here. Let's go to Romans chapter 3 to see what God has done to us who love that and believe in that sacrifice. The God that watches over us, the God that shelters us, the God, the Iron Dome, that all of these things are in here. Romans 3, starting with verse 21. But now the righteousness of God is without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God. Without the law is manifested, being, oh, excuse me, 22, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, the righteousness of God. Do you hear that? Which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, but justified, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption, the bringing back that is in Jesus Christ, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness. Now listen to this. God overseeing you. God is overseeing me. And He's overseeing the faith that you have in the sacrifice of His Son. And He sees inside of Peter, and He sees inside of Jesse, He sees inside of Nate, He sees inside of all of you. Ah, they saw my sacrifice. Their heart grabbed a hold of it. And they said, could it be that the innocent should die for the guilty? Could it be that this, all of my sin, all of my shame, all of my black, all of my judgment was taken away and put in the hands of my Lord Jesus, and He suffered for me? And God says, I like that, what I see in your heart. And He says, do you know what? Look what He says. Whom God set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood. That's, He's watching us. He's watching our faith. To declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, His righteousness. What has God said? You believe. You have seen the sacrifice on your behalf. You have seen the preciousness of that blood that was shed for you. And now I'm declaring you, I'm giving you my righteousness. That's the judgment of God. Do you know that's Psalm 32? Do you know that's Romans 4? To whom the Lord will not impute sin. Why? Because the judge has spoken it. And He says, now I see your faith. And I'm rewarding you by giving you my righteousness. I'm rewarding you by giving my token. I'm rewarding you by giving my Holy Spirit. So our faith in that blood of our Lord Jesus opens up the door of heaven for all of that love and the protection and the Holy Ghost and the Iron Dome and all of these things come pouring down over the believer to keep us. Isn't He beautiful? And He says, now I'm giving you my righteousness. Verse 26 again. To declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and, what's the next word? The justifier of him that believes in Jesus. He's the one that justifies you. He's the one that declares you just. And it was a gift because of your faith in Him, and that your faith in Him opens that door for Him bringing out of the abundance of the wells of salvation of His Spirit over you. Let me pour you over my care. Let me pour you over. I'm going to start building this Iron Dome. I'm going to start building this token. I'm building this sanctification. I'm building this life over you that when you go out into the world, those devils can't touch you. That chaos can't touch you. That insanity can't touch you. Because you got the Iron Dome, spiritually speaking, over you. as the bride of Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 5. Another one here, speaking of these same things. Verse 15. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For through the offense of one many be dead, Adam, much more the grace of God, Jesus Christ, and the gift by grace, excuse me, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift, for the judgment was by one to condemnation, that's Adam, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. There he is. I'm giving you, I'm justifying you, I'm the justifier of your because of your faith. Look at verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive the abundance of grace, that's you, believing in the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus and the gift of righteousness, what does it say? This is amazing. Verse 17, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall what? Reign. What does that mean? Reign what? In life. By who? By one. Jesus Christ. Hey, I got the iron room. I have the Spirit of God. I've got the token. I've got the protection. I'm going to reign, and this life is not going to reign over me. I am going to reign over it. It's like Romans chapter 6. Sin, unbelief, will not have dominion over my children. Why? Because of your faith in Jesus Christ, I'm sending all of this over you. I'm justifying you. You're going to reign in life because of my declaration of justification over you. And this faith in that sacrifice opens up the floodgates of all the care, of all the protection, of all the love that Jesus has to come over us. Brothers and sisters, we are above all men so rich. So wonderful. And so the care goes on. And he says, now, not only are you going to be justified, you're going to reign. You're going to reign in this life by Jesus Christ. And if I'm reigning by Jesus Christ, that means I'm reigning with him over me as an obedient son, and I'm in this place with him, and he's guiding me, and he's protecting me, and he's teaching, guiding me into all truth, and that truth is girding me up and making that protection and that barrier just stronger and stronger all the time. Hey, what a mighty walk this is with our God, isn't it? 1 Corinthians. I have some quotes here. We'll see if we can get to them. My last scripture. And I know this is just giving you not intended to be in depth, but an overview teaching of how wonderful and how deep the protection and love of God through our Lord Jesus, through his offering, and through your faith in that, opens the Spirit of God to come down and justify you and fill you and declare you that he's not going to remember your sins because of just spoken. And he's going to give you the Holy Ghost, and you are going to reign over this life. Rule over it by Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17. What about this gospel? What about the cross? The Baptists like to look at it all as past tense. Oh, brother and sister, it's past and present and future. It's ongoing. And it's so sad when they limit it to something historical. Verse 17, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Yeah, it sure is. But unto us which are saved, it is what? There you go. There's this cross. There's the preaching of the cross. There's the preaching of Calvary. There's the preaching of the sacrifice. There's the preaching of the blood substitution. The innocent for the guilty. There's the life being spilt for us. The God, the sinless for the sinner. And all of this comes down. And what is it? It's the power of God. It's the Spirit of God. It's the releasing of all good things of the Spirit down you. And He says, now let me watch over you. Let me protect you from the noisome pestilence. Let me take your fear away. Look at the chaos in the world. Look at the evil spirits. Look at the demons released. What? Hey, look at those people. How come it's not touching them? They got the Iron Dome over them. They got that invisible protection of the token of Jesus Christ over them. It's the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Why? Because it's foolishness. Huh? What do they see? Power? They don't see power. They see a historical event. They see something that doesn't make any sense to them, and it does them no good. No good whatsoever. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? These are the ones, the naysayers, the arguers. It does them no effect. For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. Of course not. It's by revelation. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching. There you go. You see, brothers and sisters, you see in those poor people that are fighting against this message, they don't understand. Huh? Why would God choose it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching? The foolishness of man, the foolishness of fallibility to save them what? That believe. It's only for the believer anyway. And the Jews require a sign and the Greeks seek after women, wisdom, but we preach Christ Jesus. Unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ. What is He? He's the power of God and the wisdom of God. There He is, the token, the protector. The one who watches over, the great shepherd and guardian of our souls. The one who watches over. Got a few quotes that Brother Branham takes. All of these aspects, revelation and Jesus Christ and Calvary, and brings them all together in the quotes all about God's protection over us. Let me read a few. From the Message, Greater Than Solomon is here. And any nation that will receive a blessing that God sends. Now, there it is. Okay? Do you remember what Jesus said in John chapter 8 to the Pharisees? He says, unless you believe I am He, you will die in your sins. Every single time God has been manifest in the flesh, they've had a chance, and when they see that, it is mercy to them. Every single time when they've recognized this as God speaking through this prophet, Elijah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, those who could receive were blessed. And then Jesus said the same, unless you believe I am He, you will die in your sins. And it'll be here we are in this day. We receive our blessing that God sends, that nation prospers. I tell you, I believe tonight that our safety is not in building bomb shelters. Or something like that, I believe our protection is made out of feathers under His wings. How will I get into the bomb shelter? One of these bombs will blow 150 miles square and a 500 foot deep of the earth. Why, it'd shake every bone in you loose if it was plumbed down to the lava. But there is a safety place. And that's in Jesus Christ. Now here. Where are these feathers? Upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell can't prevail against it. There, that's the believer's protection just under His wings. is the revelation of Jesus Christ. What is this? Come on. Did he ever one time say this message is the revelation of William Branham? It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. He warned us, go beyond the veil. Go beyond the veil that both hides Jesus Christ and reveals him, and you will see Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's the believer's protection. What? Upon this rock, the revelation of Jesus Christ, there's our feathers, brothers and sisters. Safely abiding, certainly. Notice this great time of people would just believe what God sent them. Isn't that the truth? But to turn it down, listen to this, is to go into chaos. And we've witnessed it. Haven't you seen it? Look at those who have turned it down. Look at their lives. Where are they? What do their lives show? Is it an example to follow? Or is it a life? Where's their holiness? They're off in the world, living a life in chaos. And that's what we've done. As a nation, we've turned down the blessings of God and swapped it for a tradition. But God has sent a witness, and the people has failed to see it. From the unwelcome Christ, I know this, that Satan is making his last punch at the church, and he'll never be able to do it after this age. Satan is making his last punch, brothers and sisters. She'll be safely under the wing of her lover after this time. Don't you love it? And we realize that he's impersonating in the way of religion. Look at this. False Christ. He's doing all kinds of things. And the Bible said he'd be like a roaring lion devouring who he would. He'd be so cunning that he would deceive the very elect if possible. But, O Lord, thou art the protection of those who flee to thy bosom for a refuge, and we come in Jesus' name to receive it. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ to the church. From the message, second-handed robe, and I am so glad that we have a shelter. The name of the Lord is a mighty tower, and the righteous run into it and say, I'm going to ask you a question. Who gave us that name? Who gave us the name of God? How was it revealed? Through whom was it revealed? How would you even know what that name was outside of this message? You wouldn't. You wouldn't have a clue. So how would you get into this name? How would you get into this name outside of this message that is a strong tower where the righteous run into it unsafe? No matter how many bombs, how many anything else, we're safe there. And the world and the sinner not having this shelter or this safety in place, it's a shaking time. I believe, if I wasn't a Christian, listen to this. He says, if I wasn't a Christian, I'd go crazy. Well, what are they doing? They're going crazy. Just like you said he would. To thinking what might happen at any time. People are terrified. All are consumed. What's going to happen? What's going to happen? What's going to happen? And they're going crazy. And with a house full of little kitties and everything, I wouldn't know what to do. But I'm so glad that I can stand in my house and introduce to them shelter that no bomb could ever touch, or nothing else under the protected wings of the Lord Jesus. Not by power, nor by might, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. That's our protection. Again, the Spirit of the living God. From the message, why little Bethlehem? And through this, God looked down when the wrath fell and the trumpets began to blow. He's talking about Jericho here and of course, Rahab. And God's seen that scarlet cord hanging there as a memorial. It's always pleased him to pass over the blood. That's what he's doing now. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. And he saw it. And when the shaking and the Holy Spirit rumble of the earth shook down the walls 20 feet thick, not one rock fell where that cord was hanging. And it shows the protection of a true God to a true believer. No matter what, no matter what state you're in when He finds you, if you'll just accept that scarlet cord, He'll protect you and deliver you. Isn't that wonderful? Blessed be the name of our Lord. From the message, conflict between God and Satan, and look where it is. It's not just for one or two in a church. It's for every one of us. Every believer has a right to take this word and fight the enemy anywhere we meet him. Anywhere you meet the enemy, the word is what you have. Jesus proved it when He came. So He equipped His children with the word for their protection against the enemy. When the all-out warfare comes and the battles and set in array, and there's only one thing a real soldier can use, a real Christian soldier, that's "Thus saith the Lord." And we've got that. Walk right out there and meet the enemy with the assurance that nothing, 1,000 may fall at your right and 10,000 at your left, but it won't come near you. Just remember that God made that statement to give His children, and it's the best thing they've ever had. Love it. Last quote for tonight, God's provided place of worship. Now we find out that there is, many claim that they have a place. God's name is in that place, but you see, they put God's name there. There's a lot of difference between God putting His name there and somebody putting there His name. See, but we must remember that God said He would put. I have put My name. I will put My name in this place. And that's the place that I choose and have chosen that people should worship. This bringing us now in view of these shadows of time brings us in Christ, brings us truly Christ in view to us. All the Old Testament foreshadowed Jesus in Egypt that night when there was a Passover lamb killed. It was for the protection of the people. And here we have, He's for the protection of the people. We realize that God had one place, one condition, no matter how young, old, priest, clergyman, whatever you was, you must be in that certain place. And all outside of that place perished. You must be in that one place, the place that He provided, the place where He put His name. And His name is not in any church, any group, anything. His name is in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, how we give Him thanks and praise Him. Brothers and sisters, we're safe because we serve an almighty God, the one true living God, the sovereign God, the omnipotent God, the omniscient God. This isn't taking Him by surprise. He knows all about it. He knows what we're supposed to do. And He knows each one of you, and He cares for each one of you, and He loves each one of you. And I want a little mental picture as you go forth. There might be coronavirus. There might be the angel of death outside your door. There might be chaos. There might be full of evil spirits. But when you see your vision, that little invisible iron dome that Israel has, you can't see it. But there's the token of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's the blood of Jesus Christ. There's His Holy Spirit. There's His Word. There's the revelation of Jesus Christ. It all ties together in one beautiful token. The token, the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ. And brothers and sisters, never has that token been more precious than it is tonight. Right now, to the children of the living God. Amen. God bless you all. Jess, would you come up and close in prayer? And just pray for one another, brothers and sisters. Just want to put a little something mindful. People are shut up in their homes. And I know that some people are struggling. Reach out, would you please? Your home. I know that some of you are still working. Some of you are working from your homes. Take time. Take time, obviously, with the Lord Jesus Christ in prayer, in scripture, listening to the messages, reading your Bibles. But would you do me a favor? Would you just reach out to one another? Reach out. Just let somebody know you're thinking about them. Reach out, because there's lonely people that need some kind of contact. Somebody to, hey, you're on my mind today. Just wanted you to know. You're on my heart, and I'm lifting you up in prayer. God bless you all. Jess, would you come? Here, just take this.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the time together. Lord, Lord, as everyone's connected and streaming, Lord, we just ask your presence through these words, through the word that was shared tonight, that you would minister to them. You'd take them into that place of peace, of quiet, of rest and strength, refuge, all these things that we have in you, Lord. We love you so much. We just adore you tonight, Lord. Oh, Lord, you're so good to us, Father. Lord, you've given us so many things, Lord, in your word, so many things to rest on, so many things to look at. Father, I just ask, even tonight, as we're all just partaking and meditating on these things, that you would redirect our vision, redirect our hearts, redirect our faith. It would be settled and anchored and just on you, Lord. Even as we sang earlier, Lord, you are Jehovah Jireh, Lord. Everything that we have need of, it's in you. And it's enough. So, Lord, we just confess that tonight. We proclaim that tonight. We give you thanks, Lord. Again, would you minister to your people, encourage them, build them up, and be glorified in all these things, Lord. And I just remember, as the prophet prayed so many times, Lord, we just show us, Lord, what we must do each day, Lord. And Lord, your word tells us, take no thought for tomorrow. So, Lord, we pray that we would just have that simple childlike faith, holding your hand each day, walking with you, looking only unto you for all that we need. Again, we bless your name, we give you thanks and praise, and we ask this all now in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. God bless you all.